2 Corinthians chapter 1, if you'll look at it with me, verse 10. Well, let's start with verse 9. It'll help maybe you understand a little better. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust ourselves. In other words, forget about you. You can't trust in you. But in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Amen. I'm not going to ask you to turn there, but in Luke chapter 5, Jesus is standing on the seashore. And he says in verse 4, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. You know, most Christians today are onlookers, spectators, onlookers. They're satisfied with just the easily understood things. Easily understood. You're a sinner. You need to be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, now shalt be saved. And that's about it. That's about far as the average believer in the society. That's a Twitter post. That's a little short Facebook post or Instagram or whatever else you got. The average Christian in the average church today is a spectator and knows very little about the deep things of God. But every once in a while, Jesus told his disciples, he said, now you go out there and launch out into the deep. And Simon Peter said, Lord, we've been fishing all night. We ain't caught nothing. He said, you go out there. You know, a lot of people searching, but they're not searching in the right places. And today I want to launch you just into a little deeper water, okay? Just a little deeper water. Most of the people in here today say they're saved. They say they've been born again. Most of you've been baptized. A lot of you've been Christians for a long time. But do you ever go to the deeper things of God? For instance, I want to show you some things about salvation. Maybe you never thought of, maybe it's never occurred to you, maybe you just never heard it, but salvation cannot be lost or ended. Salvation cannot be lost or ended. Can't do it. He says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And no man will pluck them from a father's hand. Now, that's salvation. Now, that's salvation past, present, and future. We just read the verse. Look at it again. Verse 10. Who delivered us from so great a death, that's death, hell, and the grave, so great a death, doth deliver, he's doing it right now, and in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. That's past, I will say. That's present, I'm being saved. And that's future, I will be saved. Amen. Now, do you see anything in there about me? No. He said, we know we've got the sentence of death on us. We're dead. It's not up to us anymore. We gave it to him. Amen. So today I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about salvation, eternal, everlasting life. Amen. Amen. Let me pray. Father, help us today. Meet with us. Yes. And whatever you do, speak to us, Lord. Without you, we can do nothing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, you're going to have to pardon me because somebody's messed with the thermostat. Amen. All right. One of these days, we'll get an usher that knows how to do that. All right. Amen. Amen. Turn to Romans 8:1. Most of you already know it. It says, there's therefore, no condemnation. I'm not going to hell. I'm not condemned. I cannot go to hell. I cannot be condemned. There's therefore, now, today, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now I know it says who walk after the Spirit, not the flesh, but if you're in Christ Jesus, that's what you're going to do anyway. But the point I want to make is this. In the past, he delivered me one day. I mean, that was one day experience. One day. March the 5th, 1978, about 12:15, Eastside Baptist Church, Preacher Fongberry preaching, 100 verse of Just As I Am Without One Plea, or at least it felt that way to me. That day was my now. That day, I was taken from condemnation to justification. That day, I became justified. Romans 5:8 says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I qualified that day for salvation because I realized I was a sinner. And so that day, Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us. That day, is this thing working? That day, he sent me salvation. He commendeth his love toward us. That Monday night, he commendeth it toward you. He recommended his love toward you while you were a sinner. So that day began my eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
Now, that's my past. The verse here says, hath delivered us. He hath. He's already done that. Look, I didn't do that. He hath delivered us. He does every bit of it. You don't have to do anything. All you got to do is turn to him. You said, but I got to pray a certain prayer. Now, there's instances in the Bible where nobody prayed and still got saved. He said, if thou believest, he said, Lord, I believe. Then he's saved. That's it. The moment you realize you're a sinner, and you turn to Christ away from everything else, and you say, Lord, I believe. And what you're saying is, you're saying, I believe I'm a sinner like you said. I believe I ought to go to hell like you said. I believe there's no hope like you said. And I believe I need a Savior. And I'm looking to you. I believe you're the Savior I've been looking for. And that day, hath delivered us. Now, some of you hath been delivered for a long time. Come on, help me.
Yes.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. I'm going to make Baptists out of you if it kills you. I mean, I'm going to get rid of those hand claps and whistles and get some amens and praise Gods and some hallelujahs. Amen. And it's just Baptists forgot what they were. Amen. Most Christians are onlookers. They're satisfied. They think it's accomplished. And that, listen, because of that, they fail. They fail. Now, I don't mean they lose their salvation. I mean they fail to go any farther. They fail to realize what they really have and what God's really done for them already in the past.
Yes.
Now, I'm not getting saved. I'm saved. It's forever settled in heaven. He hath delivered us. Now, I don't know about you, but that's enough to make a Presbyterian shout. Look, he's delivered me from the wrath of God. You know what that means, Brother Danny? God's wrath poured out on sinful men, and the lake of fire is the final destination of that wrath. Amen? And I'm saved from that wrath. God will never pour out his wrath on me because of what Jesus did for me that day. He hath delivered me from the wrath of God. He's delivered me from the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is death. I'll never die. I'm going to live long as God lives. This old body's going to lay down one day. Don't get too excited. I plan on preaching your funeral first. But I'm going to lay down this body one day. And then guess what? The me is going to wake up in glory. And death has been defeated as far as he hath delivered me from the penalty of death. He's taken the sting out of death. He's taken the fear out of death. By the way, if you ever get in a car wreck, you're afraid you're going to die. You ain't going to die if you're saved because he's going to give you the grace to die when it comes time to die, and you won't fear death. So if you're scared, say, well, I ain't dying today, but I might get hurt real bad. Amen. But he's delivered me from the wrath of God. He's delivered me from the penalty of death. Now, not only that, listen to this. God knows I cannot get right by myself. So God supplied himself a sacrifice to die in my place in the past. Now, I'm not looking for a coming deliverer. I'm not looking for a coming sacrifice to save me from hell. He's already came. That was in the past. So I'm looking back at that now, okay? He hath delivered me. Every time that I feel like I'm not saved or a doubt that I'm saved, I can just look back at the cross and say, that day he delivered me. That day.
Yes.
That day. Not 1978. That day he paid the penalty. Amen?
Yes.
So, for salvation it has happened, I'm justified. I'm made just as if I'd never sinned in the sight of God. When God looks at me and you who are saved by the grace of God, he doesn't see sin. He sees the blood of Christ applied to our sins. So that means I'm justified. You're justified. Just as if you'd never sinned. Now, some of you got, do we have bad past? Sure we do. We're born sinners. We've been sinning ever since. But the good thing is, once you're born again, once you're saved, he hath delivered us from the wages of sin, the penalty of sin, and now he has declared us righteous. We're right with God. You remember when you used to hear people say, I don't do that anymore, I got right with God? How often do you hear that now? You don't hear that much anymore. I remember when I was young, I'd hear people say, I don't drink liquor anymore, I got saved, I got right with God, or they'd say something similar to that, but not anymore. But if you have been saved by the grace of God, you got right with God.
Yes.
Now, that's your standing. That's your state. That's how you're going to be all the way through the rest of your life. You're going to be right with God as far as salvation is concerned. Number two, he says, he hath, he doth, not hath. In verse 10, he says, who delivered us from so great a death and doth, he's doing it right now. Deliver. Doth deliver. That means he's transforming us. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, and all those old things pass away and all things become new. And listen to this, that's transformation. He's transforming us into something that we were not born like. Into something else. Y'all still with me? So doth deliver. Now, delivered us, that's past. Doth deliver us is right now. That's what he doeth. He doth deliver us. So, even every day, he's delivering us from the bondage of sin. Every day. Jesus said it Jesus said himself, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Now he's delivering us every day. He's trying to guide us and trying to direct us and trying to make us look and sound and behave like children of God. That's every day. He's working on us. You know that old song, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Amen. Everybody in here could sing that. So he is right now delivering us from the bondage of sin. Now, before, you know what? We didn't have any choice. You had no choice. You were born a sinner. You couldn't help yourself. What's that old gal's name that saying, I'm born this way? Well, she wasn't born a homosexual, but she was born a sinner who could be one if she chose to be. Come on, help me. You wasn't born a liar, but you can choose to be. Amen. He is now delivering us from that stuff. Now we make choices now, but before, we just about couldn't help ourselves. We were headed in the only direction we knew, which was unrighteousness, unholiness, rebellion against God, all about self, to a devil's hell.
Yes.
We never even thought about it a different way. No, we didn't. We were born that way. So now he doth deliver us from the bondage of sin. Some of you used to be hooked on some things that would have killed you by now if he hadn't delivered you from that. Some of you, he's delivered you from some feelings that probably would have ended up killing you if he hadn't delivered you by now. Y'all still with me? Amen. Thank God. Amen. Just think where we'd be without him. Think where we'd be. That's because he's continually delivering us every day, every day. And sometimes we get off the path on purpose and he won't let us stay off the path. He delivers us from our own selfish, sinful desires and he'll chasten us and put us back on that straight, narrow way. He doth deliver us every day. He's doing that. Now, if you'd have done what you wanted, the flesh wanted to do today, you would not went to church. Right. He delivered you from that. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you do what you want to do tomorrow, you ain't going to do much good. So he's going to deliver you from that. Now you're a child of his. Before, he said this. He said, they're of my flock and my sheep know my name. And they hear my voice and they follow me. Before, you belong to somebody else's flock. Amen. And he says, we recognize his name and we won't hear anybody else. And by that, he's delivering us every day. Every day. Like that old sheepdog. Y'all liked it when I act like a sheepdog last time, didn't you? Get the old sheepdog running around behind you and bite you on the heels, you know, or some other hind places. And keep you in line, amen? Keep you in the flock. And so every day, Devin, this is good news for you. Every day, he's delivering you, keeping you where you ought to be in the will of God. Now, you can get out of the will of God if you want to, but you'll pay a price because on the way back, where are you going to end up anyway? Because he's promised never to leave you nor forsake you. He's gave you eternal life. You'll never die. You're going to heaven. He gave you that promise. So on the way to heaven, if you want to get out of the will of God, go ahead. But I got news for you. He doth deliver you, and he'll put you right back where you ought to be. Amen. Boy, he bit me a few times. Boy, I get off that path. He don't take little chumps. He takes big, you know, takes a big, and you Yankees, I know it takes a big sheepdog to keep you in line. Amen. Amen. I'm glad he does deliver these Yankees. Amen. Amen. What a world we'd have if these Yankees didn't get delivered. Amen. Some of you rednecks, too. Now, in our doctrinal thinking, and some of you don't think this way or know this way, but that's called progressive sanctification. Progressive sanctification. Now, when he first saved you, he picked you up and he took you out of one world and put you into another. That's sanctified, set apart. Okay? Now you're set apart for him. You're in his family. Now progressive sanctification is anytime it looks like you're about to get close to where you used to be, he puts you right back where he wants you to be. And progressively you get closer to God. Now I worry about people that's never got past their salvation. They've never got any closer to God. That's a wonderful experience. I'd like to relive it.
Yes.
Wouldn't you, Brother Billy? Wouldn't you like to go back to the day that you got saved?
Yes.
But you know what? It wouldn't be nearly as dramatic because you know more now and you'd understand it better. Back then, you just jumped out on blind faith and I'm going to hell, Lord, help!
Yes.
Now, as you walked up the aisle, you'd have all these ideas about what he was supposed to be doing for you that day. And it's so much better when you was like a little baby getting born again. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I'm sure being born physically was a great experience, but I wouldn't want to go back and do that again. If I did, I'd have to relive all the things that happened after that. Amen. But thank God, progressively. Did you know that he's delivering us right now from sin-blighted lives?
Yes.
You see, what we used to be, we're not anymore. He's delivered us from that. But if the old flesh has its way, we'll go back to what we used to be. So that sin will destroy our lives. So he keeps it continually interrupting our lives.
Amen.
And the reason a lot of people don't go to church, they don't want their life interrupted.
Wow.
They don't read the Bible. They don't want their life interrupted. They don't want to talk about things of God. It'll interrupt their life. Are they saved? I don't know. I hope they are. But if they are, they're interfering with his plan of transformation for their life. God knows that mankind is too weak. We're too weak. So he gives us his Holy Spirit to transform us. Now, I know Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in to him and sup with him and he with me. But put in context, he's talking about church. They had him on the outside. And I know people say invite Jesus into your heart. And I'm not going to, discourage that. But let's be honest, Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father. Amen. And He's interceding for us. He's praying for us. He's talking for us. He's our mediator. He's our intercessor. But He sent the Holy Spirit. He told the disciples He was going to send the Holy Spirit and He would be in them. Now, the day you got saved, I know you invited Jesus to save you, and He did. And if you invite Him in your heart, He knew what you meant. But then the Holy Spirit Himself, which is the third person of the Trinity, He moved into your heart and into your spirit, and now He knows you're too weak to transform yourself, so the Holy Spirit is transforming you. I told y'all that story. This big old fella walked up with a family Bible. I was preaching at the chain gang one time in my younger years. He walked up with this big old Bible. He said, "You remember me? You remember me?" I said, "No, don't remember you." He said, "You saved me." And I thought, yeah, we in jail. You're probably one of my converts. Yeah. If I saved anybody, they'd end up in jail. Amen. I said, no, if you got saved, Jesus saved you.
Amen.
And if you're in jail, you either didn't get saved or He's whipping you awful hard. Amen. It's progressive sanctification. He makes us better.
Yes.
Now, we're never going to be perfect until that last one. But who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, look at this, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. Now that's future.
Yes.
That's future. It was justification, it's sanctification, and then it's consummation. The finishing of something is a consummation of it. Our salvation is not finished. You say, "I'm saved." Well, the you is, but your flesh ain't saved yet. If it is, it looks awful. I mean, where'd you get those wrinkles and gray hair and bad backs and bad knees? And amen. He will yet deliver us. Look over 1 Corinthians chapter 15, just a page or two back in your Bible there. The Apostle Paul, writing a letter to the church there at Corinth under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. He's talking about complete salvation. Verse 47. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 47, he says, "The first man is of the earth," earthy. That's what we are right now.
Yeah.
That's our flesh, made out of the dirt. Adam was made out of the dust of the ground, the dirt. Amen?
Yes.
We're big old mud balls, more water than we are dirt. And so he says, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. That's spiritual. Now look at this. "As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy." We're still in this old body. "As is the heavenly, such as they also are that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy," here it is, "we shall also bear the image of the heavenly." Like Him. See? "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption." This thing here is corrupted. Sin has corrupted this. That's why you get sick. That's why you worry. That's why you cry. That's why you fret. That's why you fail. Sin has corrupted this flesh. Verse 51. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." Everybody's not going to die. "But we shall all be changed." Everybody's changing. Nobody's going to heaven in this earthy. Nobody. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, and the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Now he's talking about putting off this thing right here. Now wait a minute.
We've been saved. We're being saved. And one day our salvation is going to be completely saved. Now, this thing in here is saved. This, you don't see each other. You see the outside. This is the tabernacle. This is the fleshly pot that you live in. The real you lives in here. And that part's saved.
Yes.
But this thing here, tomorrow it'll lead you wrong. Tomorrow. If you'll let this thing do what it wants to do, it's corrupted.
Yes.
It's corrupted. And by the way, this world will corrupt it worse. The music, the media, the politics, everything in this world will corrupt this thing right here worse.
Yes.
You better watch what your kids are watching on those iPads and computers.
Yes,
and on the telephone. By the way, did you know all those phones that hook up to the internet, they can see anything they want to on that phone? You don't even know it. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall put on incorruption, and the mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. We'll find out the victory. Now, I've been saved. I'm not worried about being saved. I was there when it happened. I've been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. Since then, he's been sanctifying me, setting me apart, keeping me saved. Sometimes get out of his will, he keeps me saved. But I'm looking for that last part of salvation, to where I can lay off this old corruptible and put on an incorruption, and I can lay off this mortal and put on an immortality. Amen? Then I can say, verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. Sin, the wages of sin is death. Sin causes death. Now, look, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, the word of God, the law. That's it right there, okay? That's the law of God. Did you know that the strength of sin is law? In other words, the law says this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. And though sin says, I don't care, I'm going to do it anyway. And the flesh being under sin and corruption, it agrees with the sin that's against the law of God itself. Verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but that excites me. Now, in the future, he will deliver us from physical distress, disease, death, defeat. The finishing of our salvation will be in eternal glory when we'll be made in his likeness from the presence of sin itself. Revelation 22, 3 through 7. I'll quit. Now, we've been those that are saved, that's trusted Christ. He hath. Look, he's already done that. And right now, he doth. And then in the future, he yet will. Now, my salvation, as far as this old flesh, is not complete. Me, I am. This is not. This thing needs to be fixed. And when he blows that trumpet, and the dead will be raised, it says what? Incorruptible. We'll have a new body with a heavenly flesh, and we're going to be like him. Amen? Amen, amen. Now, look at Revelation 22. This is the end result of my salvation in the future. I don't have this yet, but I'm going to have it. Look at verse 3. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the saying of the prophecy of this book. Now, salvation delivers us not only from death, not only from hell, but delivers us from the grave. Did you know that no man, no woman, no person knows how to get out of the grave nor give themselves a new body? We don't know how to do that. I just read this, and sometimes you read, there's no other way to say it, idiot things. And that's in the Bible. It's got to be in the Bible somewhere. But said this, now they're taking these genes or cells, the cells that they're taking from these embryos, and they're taking those cells, and they're in Norway or Sweden. You know, that's where all the perversion usually comes from anyway. But they're taking those things and injecting them into dead bodies that just died, into their neck and their central nervous system, thinking it's going to bring them back to life. Now, somebody's dumb as a box of rocks to believe that kind of stuff. And even if it were true, don't do it to me. I want to be there. That's what I was saved for. This is what I'm saved from. So, since I can't get my own body up and make it new, Jesus Christ will provide a resurrection.
Yes.
Amen. And that trumpet's going to sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised first, and then Baptists get to go. I mean, the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, and so shall we be forever with the Lord. And he said, with these words, comfort one another.
Yes.
Now, death's a terrible thing. I'm not making light of death. I visited my mama's grave recently, been just over a year since she passed. And I maybe you don't do this, but I talk to her. You know, she's in that great cloud of witnesses. She can hear me. And my brother Donnie's laying right there, and I talked to him a little bit. And I know that might not be right to some of y'all, but it's right to me because, see, they're not in there. They're in there. Amen. I just keep in touch. Amen. And one day, they'll raise. That trumpet will sound, and up through the ground they'll arise. Amen. And they'll get a new body, a glorified body, an immortal body, a sinless body, a perfect body, a holy body,
yes,
a body that cannot be corrupted by death again, an incorruptible body.
Amen.
And he said, comfort ye one another.
Yes.
I preach a lot of funerals, especially for people that don't go to church in my younger years. And I always wondered as I was preaching that funeral, how do you do this? If there's no hope. How do you do this when there's no hope? And so I don't talk about the person. I don't, a lot of times I didn't even know the person. I talk about my hope in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the resurrection in him. Look, 1978. Saved. Born again.
Amen.
Washed in the blood of Jesus. I started a journey. And as I stepped out that day, all through these years, he's been saving me spiritually,
yes,
separating me from things that would hurt me, sometimes chasing me from putting myself under the things that would hurt me. And it keeps me on that path. And I know I'm already saved, but at the same time, he's saving my life, and he's He sanctifying me. He set me apart for His service. And He's fixing the things I'm messing up. I cannot lose my salvation.
Amen.
You say, well, what if you die with sin in your life? You're not listening. Right. Saved eternally. No man can pluck you out of His hand. Eternally. You put that on Him. See, that's all on Him. It's called faith. And now I'm living by faith. And I'm not living to be good enough to go to heaven. I'm living because He's guiding me on my way to heaven.
Yes.
I'm not going to lose what I started down there. He did that. I'm just trying to be a good saint. I'm just trying to be a good child of God. And I mess up a lot.
Yes.
And if it wasn't for Him, that wouldn't count no more. Now what you want him to do? You want him to go die on your path of life and you mess up? You want him to die on the cross again to pay for that? And you want him to die on the cross again to pay for that? And you want him to die on the cross again? He died one time. One time. It's finished.
Yes.
I'm going to wake up in glory one day. If look, unless Jesus comes and raptures me out of here, I'm going to lay this old body down and it's going to quit breathing. You say, well, that scares me. It won't when it comes.
Right.
It scares us now because we've never done that.
Right.
We don't know how to do it.
Right.
He'll give us the grace to die by. Amen. I'm not looking forward to death, but I am looking forward to what comes after.
Amen.
Death.
Amen.
I am eternally secure.
Amen.
1 John 5, 4b, you don't have to turn there. The second part of that verse says, and this is the victory to overcome a what? This is the victory overcome the world. Even our faith.
Amen.
Preacher, you messed up. Yeah, but I've got faith to believe that Jesus saved me in 1978.
Yes.
But wait a minute, preacher. You've been to the cemetery. You've buried loved ones. I have, but I've got enough faith to believe that Jesus did what He said He would do when they got saved.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Father. Amen.
I'm not working to be saved. I'm not praying to be saved. I'm not trying to be saved. I am saved.
Amen.
And I put it in His hands.
Yeah, there you go.